It is the Tiltcast, episode 625, Air You Can Wear.
And this week, guys, we talk Stellar Blade and RoboCop, Rogue City, Unfinished Business. Stay tuned.
Very moist. We play video games.
Oh.
Hey, we're back.
Woohoo.
It's the Tiltcast. It's another day. It's an M-rated show. It is Sunday, the 27th of July of 2025 at 4:14 p.m. And a heat index of, oh God, I'm burning alive. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I am not burning alive.
Though it is 90 degrees here. I'm rusty.
And the three of us, you're going to get about 30 minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games, some news. It is almost as hot as it's going to be today. Feels like 108.
I have spent the entire day inside. When air conditioning, even in the north, is a requirement to live, that is, that's saying something. It's warm, guys. It's warm.
The heat index here is hotter than Dallas. Honestly, in your neck of the woods, it feels like 94, Rusty.
It's not too bad here, but the humidity is going to go up over the next few days. So today is kind of a low humidity day, but over the next 3 days, it's going to hover at about 75% humidity, and then it'll finally. It'll finally go down. We have a there was a humidity index that I saw online. I think at one point it was like anything above 60% humidity is disrespectful. And then the tier above that was air you can wear. It's pretty bad.
We're getting to the air you can wear over here. It's it's honestly better than it was, though, because in June it rained like every other day.
Yeah.
The temperature increased. The
downpours here. So. Yeah. It randomly downpours here for about a half an hour. Just enough to create a swamp. And then afterwards, the heat pops out and the sun comes out and tries, and evaporates all that shit. And then just hangs around because there's no wind after the storm. So it gets pretty stupid around here. The humidity the other day was real bad. At work, I have had a hell of a week at work over the last week, because as soon as I get in, as soon as I clock in, sit down on my computer, I can, the AC I know has been running all night, everything's nice and cool. I sit down, the AC makes fucking, growling noise. And then shuts off, and the fan kicks on and starts blowing hot, humid air. I'm like, fuck. Every day, 4 days in a row. And about halfway through the day, we call up the AC repair guys. We have them guys on call, come out same day. Pretty expensive to have them look at the stuff, but they come out and fix it four different times, replacing different parts and shit like that. And they get the AC rolling about 2-3 o'clock or so. And I clock out at 4. And just before I leave at 4, after the repair guy's already gone and left, the AC dies again. So the night guy runs into the same issue. I'm like, I'm just not going to come in. just not going to work from the office anymore. Our mere presence is breaking shit. But yeah, in the IT room, we are a separate AC zone at work. But in the IT room there at work, it was 85% humidity in that room. It was so humid that touching surfaces felt like you were touching water. We have epoxied floors in that room, and our shoes were squeaking on the epoxy floor. It was so humid. If it was any more humid in that room, it was going to be dangerous to run computer equipment. So we were honestly looking at shoveling all of our working equipment into the server room that has a chiller in it that is separate from our HVAC. And we were going to be running from, the server closet. It was bad this week. It just got real bad. So screw the weather, man. I'm telling you. I know a lot of people look forward to summer, but I don't look forward to the humidity. I don't look forward to winter either, but if we could just keep fall around for, more than a week, I'll be happy with that. I'm kind of partial to fall.
Well, I've been so busy this summer, I'm just literally am now setting up my pool. I've got water flowing in it. In fact, I turned it off right before we got here because I didn't know if it was going to overflow or not because I haven't hooked up the dam, what do you call it, the filter. It's filling up. Getting ready for our tri-birthday thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, that'll be happening. Are we going to do a roundtable podcast? Are we thinking about doing that?
That was one of my thoughts. We're all going to be in the same city.
We're going to have to figure out the microphone setup again, because right now it's all just one.
It's two.
Two. Sorry, two.
It's two, and I can bring my Yeti. It's got my cable and butt, so we'll be fine. Okay.
Oh, yeah. As long as I don't have to pack mine up, moving these things around sucks, and I don't really want to have to, explain to TSA why I'm bringing a condenser mic onto a plane.
They really don't question a lot, honestly.
Well, I mean,
I fly all the time, so
I know, but the condenser mics are, well, they, with the exception of a pull tab, they kind of look like a flashbang.
It's easy enough to see that it's a microphone.
Yeah, but there's always idiots out there, right? So
the only time I had somebody open my baggage is vinyl, surprisingly.
Well, all of the stuff that I'm going to be, so just to clarify everything, because I'm sure that people have figured this tri-birthday thing out. The three of us have a birthday within about a month of each other. And since I moved, it's really been a bi-birthday party. And this year is going to be a tri-birthday party because I'm flying. If you haven't figured that out, talking about TSA and trying to carry around a condenser mic on a plane, I'm flying to Oklahoma to visit these two fucks and their family, the family on the, at least on the Jason side, and some people I probably have worked with, and hopefully people I don't owe money to. But the idea is I need to if we're going to sit around a podcast table, I'm going to need to be able to, have a microphone, because I'm not sharing bad breath space with Jason. So,
never heard sharing a microphone called bad breath space.
It's true. Think about it. It's gonna be a thing, and as long as he's got a microphone that I can use, then perfect, great. I'm all for it. But yeah, I would love to do a roundtable podcast, because that's something that we haven't done in years. It's been at least, what is it, 2 years since I've been. It was 2 years ago that I did the whole travel thing. I didn't do it last year, but this year I'm good to go. I might actually be able to fit into a plane seat this time. I know I don't need an extension, for the belt. That's gonna be great, man.
Yeah, just get aisle seat. That's I recommend, if you're not just enamored with the window seat, just get aisle seat, because you can get out faster.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna get an aisle seat anyway. I'm to save some money. I will probably just get whatever. There's both planes are two seat aisles, so it's two on one side, two on the other.
Oh, you're flying huge planes? Oh, two seat, I gotcha.
Yeah, two seats on the left and two seats to the right of the aisle. So that's just four seats wide. Yeah, it's...
Where's your connection?
Most of them are basically pond hopper.
Yay, puddle jumpers.
Yep.
Yeah, my boss calls them Barbie planes.
Yep. They're tiny. There's no amenities to them. There's really not even first class to them. It is just get from point A to point B.
First class on those is a joke. And it doesn't even make sense. Like, it's the first, four rows of seats.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing dividing it. There's nothing that... First class is kind of a joke to begin with. Like, okay, you get off the plane a little bit earlier. That's great. And you get refreshments earlier. And it costs a hell of a lot more.
So I have done first class once. And I loved it because, at the time I was a bigger, right? So first class does have bigger seats. They're probably 2 or 3 inches wider seats, right? But that was perfect for my fat ass at that time. The snacks that you get in first class is better, right? It's not,
sometimes
it was better, but it was still you could still buy this, buy this level of snack from a convenience store and be fine. It's not worth the extra $800 or so for the upgrade. You did get one free alcoholic beverage as long as you showed your ID, but again, not worth the $800, right? You got priority boarding and priority offboarding, disembarking or whatever the fuck they call it, right? But yeah, it really wasn't worth it. It was nice, but it wasn't worth the money. Luckily, I didn't pay for the first class upgrade that I got that time. I got that complimentary.
It happened to me 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. I was coming back from West Virginia for work, and was going from Roanoke, Virginia to Charlotte, South Carolina, and had a really tight connection. And I had upgraded my seat, and then I guess something had happened with that seat, and so they just put me in first class. And so I'm three seats deep. No, not even three seats. I was one seat deep, because I'm remembering, because I didn't have any room up front to put anything in there, so I had to put my bag up top, which irritated the hell out of me, and I still had to tag check my bag, even though I was in first class. I remember telling the lady, I was like, all right, I've got a really tight connection. We land when my other plane boards. And Charlotte, North Carolina is pretty close to the Dallas-sized airport. You wouldn't think it, but it's a ginormous airport. And so it was like a 15 to 20 minute travel between terminals. So right. I was flipping out, and I was like, I need to make sure that I don't get myself in trouble and get kicked off by the TSA. And so they were going to check my bag, and I was like, I literally upgraded so I wouldn't have to check my bag because I got to run. And they're like, oh, the plane's too small. You're going to have to green tag it. I was like, all right. So as soon as the plane landed and they opened the door, I hop up, get out. And I remember being really annoyed because I had, like, you know, my Steam Deck in my bag plus my headphones in my bag that I usually stick under the seat, and I still had to put it up top, which meant that I had to hold all this shit in my hand and put it in my pockets, like my Steam Deck, like sitting on my lap and, you know, all this bullshit in my pockets. Mm-hmm. And then mid-flight, pull it out so I could rearrange my stuff. And getting off, I ran, no joke, thinking, you know, we got a late start takeoff, like 30 minutes late, tried to make up time. They landed almost on time. So 5 minutes after my other flight supposed to board, I run, like dead run. As soon as they gave me my bag, like, I ran so fast, the bag came up off the ground and into the air, and then I just pulled it around and grabbed it in on my chest and just started running. And I ran like that for 10 minutes straight. And it was like, it was Terminal K to Terminal B, which was like a mile. And Charlotte doesn't have trains or anything like that. They have moving sidewalks. So I am being a rude ass, pushing people out of the way, running on the you know, the moving sidewalks. It's like, I don't want to be late. This is the last flight to Tulsa. I'm going to have to stay overnight. And I was super pissed. And I get there, and then there's a delay. And then we sit. I got there in plenty of time. I was, you know, I fly so much, I'm usually priority boarding. I'm usually like boarding group two or three. And I got on the plane, and I just sat there for like 45 minutes. It's like, is this plane ever going to take off? And of course, if you haven't done this, and you're sitting on a plane, the AC doesn't kick on until the plane starts moving.
Nope.
So it was just like sweltering heat, and I was like back in like, I don't know, like 18 on the aisle. This was like, and this is such a...
Just ran for 10 minutes straight.
Yeah, and I'm like hot and sweaty and gross and hungry and pissed off, and flying always pisses me off. Like, it's never efficient. I feel like I have more delays sitting on the fucking airport parking lot than anything. Then I'll be flying again here in about a week. 2 weeks. I'll be going to Nashville. I'm going to go see the gal. So, doing that right before you come into town.
That's great. Flying sucks, but... And... Oh, dude, I don't know. It sucks, but it also doesn't. I know what it's like to actually drive the 16 hours to get there, and I really don't want to spend 16 hours driving in a direction and then 16 hours back.
Yeah, it's like anything over 6 hours, it's worth flying, in my opinion.
Yeah, but, you know, there are certain things in the flight world that I just despise. And one of those things is flying through either Dallas, Fort Worth, or Chicago O'Hare.
Chicago O'Hare, I'll second. Dallas, Fort Worth is way more efficient.
Dallas, Fort Worth is okay, but you have to take the SkyTrain to get from arrivals to departures. So if you run into a situation like you had, you would have had to wait on a train before you could get to your next flight.
Yeah, but the train is like every 90 seconds.
But there is no running. You are it's sunk time. You cannot make that faster.
Yeah, but you can't run as fast as that train goes.
No, you can't.
The train's going like 45 or 50 miles an hour. Like, it hauls ass.
I get that. I've run into the, you know, those things. The other one that is basically the, you know, my third worst Atlanta.
Atlanta genuinely sucks. I've flown out of there probably 10 times. And
yep.
Jen picks me up from Atlanta every now and then. And then I've flown there through there for work. But it's only one place for arrivals to be picked up. So it's one huge line with like 8 lanes of traffic. And it is a pain in the ass to find her while I'm getting picked up there. Frequently, and you have to keep moving, frequently it takes me about an hour to get picked up there because of the traffic and her just trying to find me in the traffic. Like, she'll end up looping around twice trying to find me. The easiest one, when you said Dallas-Fort Worth, yeah, the trains are kind of annoying, but every single terminal has its own entrance and exit. So she just has to tell me, that's where she flies if I'm picking up here. She's like, yeah, I'll be in B. And I just go and pick her up at B, which is like Tulsa Airport, but just one terminal, right? So there's not nearly as many people. And if you're flying in and out, if I've got a delay, I vape. You may hear it sometimes on the show. I can literally just go through security at any terminal and be outside for a few minutes and then come back through security, which only takes like 10 minutes. Because every single terminal has its own security gate in and out. Chicago has kind of the same thing, but it's just so much bigger, I think. At least it seems like there's more people going in and out. I've looked at it before thinking, like, am I going to vape? And I was like, no. Like, I had a 2-hour delay, and I looked at the line, and I was like, that's an hour and a half line. There's no way I'm getting in and out. That's not worth it. So I went going around looking for food and found myself an Italian beef, because that's what I was looking for. It's in Chicago. It's like either going to be pizza or Italian beef or a hot dog. And I found Italian beef, but I had 2 hours, so I wandered the whole fucking airport looking for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've spent plenty of time in Chicago here. See, the reason why I hate Chicago here isn't necessarily...
It's a sprawl.
Right. It's not necessarily the fact that it's... you know, difficult to get from, you know, flight to flight, because if, you know...
It's like a really shitty Mall of America is what it's like.
It really is.
And most of the restaurants in there suck.
The one time I missed a flight, or almost missed a flight, I had to do the whole airport run, and it was basically from the farthest terminals apart. And... by the time I got there, they were calling my last name and saying, you know, last call, the doors are closing. And breathlessly, I'm like, I'm right here. And of course, the poor dude that I had to sit next to is, you know, sitting next to a big dude fucking sweating all over him because I just ran through Chicago O'Hare. So my rule for Chicago O'Hare is that if the layover is anything less than an hour, I don't take the flight, because if you get paused on the tarmac or whatever, you simply just don't have the time to get from point A to point B before you miss your flight. So if it's just over an hour or more, fine. The longest I've spent in Chicago O'Hare, 7 hours. Hated every fucking minute of it. You thought you had enough time to actually, like, you know, explore? Yeah, I went to every store in Chicago here in 7 hours, just trying to keep myself awake. Fuck that airport. Every fucking store. I walked down every concourse. I visited every gate. 7 hours. In that airport, fuck it. Eat that place.
Yeah, I need to find out. I'm trying to remember how I'm flying.
It's just, it's terrible. That's but yeah, the you know, I am going to go ahead and I will be going through Chicago. I will have a layover of at least an hour. I know I'm there for an hour and a half. On my way back, I don't care. Like, if I miss a flight and on my way back, not a big problem because I've already done my trip, right? If they fuck up, and I miss my flight back, no skin off my back. Like, so
yeah, I'm flying into Dallas Fort Worth. I've got about an hour layover before I go to Nashville. It's not an hour is perfect.
Yeah, so Dallas with an hour, you're fine. Like you said, the SkyTrain is going, is going to be, it'll be running every 5 minutes. Yes, and
you'll be able to get there. It's like every 90 seconds. It's really not every 5 minutes.
Yeah, so it's fairly quick. An hour in Dallas is fine.
I might even have enough time to get breakfast.
I don't know if I've got that much time, but starting to get a little optimistic about Dallas Fort Worth. So Dallas is really not terrible. I just don't like the train. I really don't. But it's better than Atlanta. So I guess I have to change my ranking around. Atlanta is definitely second. Fuck Atlanta. I haven't flown through.
I hate Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, I hate Chicago more than I hate Atlanta. But I haven't flown through like New York or any of the other bigger ones, right? So, but those are the two that I've flown through. And man, yeah, fuck that place. But yeah, I'll give Dallas a little bit of credit. At least an hour in Dallas, I know that I'm not totally boned. Chicago or Atlanta, yeah, you're fucked. I've spent a half an hour on the train in Atlanta. So, because it's a singular, well, there's two trains that go between all of the different, all the different places. And it's like a 30-second ride and then it stops. Lets people on, lets people off, and then it goes to the next place and stops, lets people on, lets people off. It's not a point A to point B. It is, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then, backwards, right? It's faster than walking, but only marginally because they do have the, Jetsons track that you could do. And I was racing at one point. I did try to race the train on the Jetsons tracks, the conveyor belt tracks. That was pretty close. See, Atlanta is another place that I spent more than 5 hours at. I spent 9 hours in Atlanta. And that one's too big to visit all of the stores in 9 hours. But I gave it a go. Hell, you can spend an hour just on one concourse there. That's pretty crazy. Yeah, travel sucks.
We're all doing a lot of it. Well, I say all. Me and you are doing a lot of it here soon.
Yeah. It's going to be worth it, though. I wanted to go back to the Tulsa area and generally try to do it at least once a year. I miss the place. I still can get around without needing a map, and most for the most part. Yeah, I miss you fucks sometimes.
Did you ever think you would miss that simplicity?
The Tulsa grid, the knowing grid. Exactly where you are based off of what intersection you're at?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed it immediately. There's not very many cities in the United States that's like that. It gets kind of fucky around downtown, but for the most part. Yeah.
That's because downtown was, you know, for like 50 years that, you know, that like 5 square mile area was the most populated area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the oil hit. So who designed all the streets in our city? Who designed it to be a grid?
Oh. It would be the
fucking oil engineers who were like, what's the fastest way for us to get from point A to point B? Straight fucking lines.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's real good. I mean, it's a thing. Like, I can still tell people, somebody who's like, hey, you know, have you been to, you know, this place? And I'll ask them what the address is. And they'll be able to, if you give me the address. Now, I was never really that great with the addresses, but the addresses are similar in Tulsa. As long as you're in Tulsa proper, you can tell where you're at based on the street address. Like the number and the street, you'll be able to tell that you're between, you know, between two different streets, or, you know, basically on what block you're on.
Yep.
I was never really that good with, you know, with those addresses, but I could, if somebody asked me if I've been to a place and they, you know, they give me a street address, I'll ask them for the nearest cross street and be like, yeah, I've been there.
Yep. And then it's most of the time really easy to get where you need to from there.
Well, when I was picking out the, well, when I was doing the flight, see, my buddy is a travel agent, right? So I'm like, I need to go to Tulsa. These are the dates. I need a car and I need a place to stay. Go. And of course he's going to go and look for the cheapest, right? Well, you don't go to the cheapest hotels in Tulsa. You just don't. I'm not staying in a Red Roof Inn.
Man, so alum of the show and guy who still helps me run the podcast, Trent, went to a concert. I want to say it's been 10 years now, or quote, 8 years probably. And we went to a concert, and he was like, oh, yeah, I got us a room at the Red Roof Inn, and it's my first time at Red Roof Inn. And we went to this was closer to Plano, and there was a barbed wire fence around that Red Roof Inn.
That was red flag number one.
And this is not that long ago, and I was had considerably less money, and we wasn't getting paid about half of what I make right now. And I remember saying, you know, if we can get a room, because we had to do 2 rooms, potentially 3, I was like, I'll bring my sleeping bag and sleep on the floor if you guys will give me a discount on the room so that, you know, that I could make the trip. And, you know, I was riding with Trent. And so I did, and I slept under the AC. And the other thing for doing that also cut down the cost of our trip significantly. So I told Jason, not the Jason on the show, this other Jason is like, hey, so you owe me beer the night before for saving us the money. And Jason had a pretty good job. So Jason's like, yeah, I got you, bro. So he fed me like 12 beers the night before, and I slept underneath the AC, and the water, the condensation from the AC dripped on my head like a Chinese water trap all night while I was hungover. And let me tell you, the day after was rough.
Oh boy,
that was rough. Like having condensation just like dripping on your face all night, on top of like being like completely hungover. That was one of the roughest days back. Like just earth shattering migraine. But I'll never forget it. That Red Road fan, we heard some gunshots at night. Couldn't sleep real well. I slept for maybe 4 hours, even that drunk. I slept for 4 hours. And it's like, yep, that's gunshots. I think I'm going to just hope nobody aims at the hotel. Right. Yeah, that Red Roof Inn, no bueno.
Yeah, it's not worth. That's definitely not worth. So
it's worse than a Motel 6 by a long shot.
Oh, yeah. Because at least Motel 6.
Like, you can find a clean Motel 6. I sometimes go and see shows in Lawrence, and there's a Motel 6 in Lawrence that's pretty clean that I stay at. And there's a Motel 6 close to downtown Dallas that I stay at sometimes too. Because, you know, yeah. I'm not going there for the hotel. Like, I took my girlfriend there and we stayed a much better place. I can't remember what it was, like a Radisson or something, right? Going to Nashville, we're staying somewhere nicer. But, you know, like, Motel 6, depending on where it's at, it's not bad. But Red Roof Inn, like, no bueno. It's got to be a bottom-tier hotel or motel.
It is pretty bad. Like, everyone that I've stopped at, and I've stopped at a few because as cheap, or, like, when I was driving between Tulsa and, you know, Michigan, I'd stop one when I got real tired. It's a 16-hour drive, and if you had worked a 12-hour shift right beforehand, you're not making the full trip in one go. So I did stop at a Red Roof Inn at one point on my way back. I forget exactly where it was, but I walked into the room, and then I walked out immediately. I went right back to the freaking, you know, check-in desk there, and I said, I refuse. You're getting me another room, and you need to address that room. And she's like, problem. I said, I walked into that room, and I counted no less than 8 fucking spiders on the wall. And I am highly arachnophobic, and there was no fucking way I was staying in that room. No. So she's like, "Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Let me look at I'll get somebody to come out." And of course, they probably never did anything, but because it was fucking late at night. But she got me a different room. I walked in there, of course. After that, I do a full fucking inspection of the room, and I'm like, is there any creepy crawlies in here? What the hell's going on? It's already in a bad part of town, so I pulled everything of value out of my car, put it into the room, close the door, lock it. Like, that's going to do anything, because you could just jump through the fucking window, cheap-ass fucking windows there. And I do a full inspection of the room to make sure there is no creepy crawlies, right? All I really want to do is sleep for like 6 hours and get back on the road. I don't care what the room looks like. I just want a safe place to sleep and get the fuck back on the road. If I thought that I could sleep in my car and be comfortable enough to make the trip, I probably would have done that, but it didn't. It passed the bleary-eyed inspection. I pass out. I don't sleep for very long, and I have to get back, get up, and I have to fucking go to the bathroom. And the one place I didn't look was inside the shower. Inside the shower, this place had to have been infested. There was 4 brown recluses in the bathtub.
No.
And I'm like, oh hell. Oh, hell no. I am skeeved out at this point, so I pack everything back up in my car. Just go up to the, to the front desk, and I'm like, I found more spiders in the fucking room. I'm out of here. I'm done. So I get a refund for my room. I've slept maybe 2 hours, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go. So I just went and continued my trip. But man, nothing, no good experiences from, no good experiences from Red Roof Inn, that's for sure.
Well, I'm gonna switch gears.
What the shit is that?
Holy fucking shit.
What did you just send us?
He's just a frog that gives daily reminders.
Oh, Frog Father.
Yeah. Should look him up. Frog Father's great.
Good it's fucking weird. Day.
It's I super weird.
I had a good poo-poo day. I did. I did have a good poo-poo day.
Jason, did you do anything important, exciting?
The most exciting thing I got to do this week other than play video games was I did see the new Superman movie.
Yeah, I saw you posting about that. Posting in a thread.
Which is a... It might be the best superhero movie since Iron Man.
You really like it.
It's definitely the best Superman movie since Donner's original.
Wow.
I actually think it surpasses it, mostly just because of what they can do today.
Right? Who played Superman?
God, you asked me that. You'd ask me that like I paid attention.
Well, I'll look it up.
A guy I never heard of. Find it here. David Cornswit.
Cornswet. Corn sweat.
Yep. Apparently, he's a stage actor, and this is one of his. This is like his first lead in a movie. He's done other things, but he's been like.
Who directed it?
James Gunn.
Okay. Yeah, I heard that a lot of people were worried it was going to be a little too over the top. Was it the story? Does the story flow?
The story flows really well.
It's another Lex Luthor story, right?
Yeah, there are a couple points I'll say that I think make it the best Superman movie. One, it's like a day in the life of Superman, right? Now, granted, this movie spans a couple different days, but for the most part, it's all the same plot. The movie doesn't, it's not an origin, it's not another origin movie. You know, they assume for the most part, you know who Superman is at this point. You know, the basics of his origin, etc. So he's been in Metropolis as Superman for like 3 years at this point. Yada yada yada. You can get most of this from the trailers or the cliff notes, so I'll just say this part. It basically at the start of the movie, he had stopped one country from invading another, and this meta human from the invading country shows up in Metropolis wanting to kick Superman's ass for interfering in their affairs without permission. Superman actually loses that fight.
Of course.
So the movie opens with him crashing in Antarctica. And him having to call Krypto, the super dog, to pull him into the Fortress of Solitude for him to get healed. They brought in the Kryptonian robots, which has been a staple of the comics since the 70s. And they use those. They get him healed. They send, you know, and then the movie continues from there. But they didn't try to tell an origin story. Just day in life. The Superman in the movie doesn't have, you know, any kind of like dark broody edge or anything like that. He's just, you know, the Superman who's trying to do his best to save lives and do what he believes is right. Which is the core essence of Superman. Always has been, right? So there's not any play of should I do this, shouldn't I do this, etc. The whole movie is just him trying to do his best to save lives. You know, of course they've got some stuff in there with him and Lois, and of course Lex Luthor is the big bad.
Well, don't go through the whole plot because I might actually see it.
You know, etc. So it's just a really entertaining movie that doesn't try to reinvent Superman. It's more of a classic traditional Superman. And I loved it. And the fact that they didn't have a fear of including other superheroes in the movie, even though they don't take up a lot of it, right? They're just in key moments. But they weren't afraid to include other superheroes, which, you know, if Superman's been operating for 3 years, would totally be around. It flowed really well, and the way they included the other heroes flowed really well. And in the case of Nathan Fillion's Green Lantern, totally hilarious.
Hey. Nathan Fillion in a movie. All right, cool.
Yeah. He's playing Guy Gardner.
Okay. All right.
So not the original Green Lantern, but the second one. Right. He's not Hal Jordan. He's playing Guy Gardner, which was Green Lantern with more of an attitude, which is, again, hilarious. So I mean, it was really good.
Man, give me Green Lantern's powers. I mean, any day. Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, being able to make whatever you want out of basically hard light. That's totally awesome.
Yep. Green Lantern power is pretty cool. I'll say it's.
But not they didn't the over. Yeah. They didn't overdo the other heroes in the movie, too, right? Like, it's Green Lantern, it's Mr. Terrific, and it's Hawkgirl. That's it. That's okay. Only other three heroes in the movie.
All right, Jason. Let's settle down.
You're giving everything away.
And then then the other like post credit spoilers. There's this character.
Oh right? No! I won't
and then,
do that.
And then I wanted to that. Tell you about this one moment.
I won't do that.
Like, but stop it!
You pretty much already have.
This is Jason explaining every movie.
As an introduction to what James Gunn wants to do with the DC movie universe, I really, really enjoyed it.
Good.
In fact, I really kind of want to go see it again before it's not in the theaters anymore.
Yeah, I might.
I don't know if I've ever actually done a movie in the theaters more than once. So that's saying something. But then again, you're crazy. So
I mean, there's been movies I've seen more than once in the theater, right? But it's like a rare occurrence. Like Revenge of Sith, I saw twice in theater, right? Deadpool, I saw twice in theater. Tron Legacy, I saw twice in theater.
Right? I don't think I've ever actually gone and seen a movie twice in the theater. I'm a one and done kind of like kind of movie goer, and if I go to a movie like in the theater, I mean, it's already an exceptional experience anyway, because I don't go to movies very often. I think the last time I went to a movie theater and saw a movie, you were with me, and we both came out of that movie theater going, what the fuck? And we spent an hour bitching about that movie in the parking lot afterwards.
Yeah, I haven't seen a movie in a while. Maybe we'll see a movie while you're down here.
Also, the gal that got to play Lois Lane, really good.
The what?
The gal that got to play Lois Lane.
Oh, your accent sounded the guy that got to play Lois Lane. I was like, what?
Really good.
Okay, good.
Not complete trash. This is the first Lois Lane I've liked since the since that ABC series in the 90s with Dean Cain.
God, forgot about that.
Terry Hatcher played Lois Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. It was great. It might actually be the best. Like I said, it is the best DC movie out there. I won't say it's the best superhero movie I've ever seen. Because, you know, Iron Man and Deadpool are out there, and Civil War or Winter Soldier's out there, you know, waving some pretty big flags. But this was dang close. It's just really good. And it's the Superman I've wanted for decades. Superman, I thought Richard Donner understood, that none of the other filmmakers really have since. You know, he's not trying to be a god, or he's not at war at himself, you know, with feelings of superiority or whatever, like Henry Cavill's Superman was. And it doesn't feel like he's trying to be Christopher Reeve's Superman, which the one from the early 2000s felt like, right? So it's good.
Right on. Rusty.
I'm looking at different movies that are coming out that weekend.
There's also the new Fantastic Four that's out, but nobody I know has seen it yet.
It's not going to be by the time, you know.
Fantastic Four has always been meh.
And I'm with Marvel's track record the last few movies, not with Deadpool's name attached. I'm kind of hesitant to spend my movie to see that one in the theater. Despite the fact that I really like all of the actors they have in it, and this is supposed to, you know, like premiere Robert Downey's Doctor Doom. As well as actually do Galactus as Galactus, and not
as
some
in, like as a you know, yeah, as a celestial.
As an actual celestial instead of some cosmic fog.
Right. Right. You know, the cosmic fog from the Silver Surfer fucking
Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Yeah. That shit. Yeah, I'm looking at that movies that, you know, that are coming out in, you know, on that weekend, and there really isn't anything great. So The only thing that's that actually halfway piqued my interest, and I didn't even know this was a movie that was coming or that was being made. They're making a new Red Sonja.
Yes, they are. I've not seen anything about it. I just like heard about it through the grapevine.
It's coming out on August 15th. So that is, that's the only thing that's, you know, that is coming out on the 15th that I would even consider. The original Red Sonja movie was during the Conan the Barbarian era of like of movies back in what, the late 80s, early 90s.
Yep, it was, and it was the late 80s, and it starred Brigitte Nielsen as Red Sonja.
Mm-hmm.
Before she married and quickly divorced Sly. Yeah.
Right. It's, so this is, yeah, it's I'm going to assume, because I haven't looked into this at all, but if it's a, you know, if it's part of like the, because I know the Red Sonja was a comic book. I guess Conan the Barbarian is also a comic book, but but it's all based off of the world, was it Hyboria?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all part of the, you know, that high fantasy, but low magic situation. Like magic is, exists, but it's not necessarily like super wizards. It's just like, you know, my name is Tim kind of wizard, you know?
My name is Tim.
If you get the reference, great.
I just think it's a shame that they don't have Mimosa's Conan in there. Or Momoa's. I said Mimosa's.
Mimosa. Jesus. Man, now I'm looking for some champagne and some orange juice there, fucko. I don't know. I'm looking at it, and it's.
But I mean, the trailer does have the female fantasy armor joke.
It does. Well, I mean, you can't have a high fantasy anything without having that, having the breastplate that is just a bra.
Speaking of that, I've been playing a video game kind of like that. Yeah. We are a video game podcast, by the way.
We are a video game podcast.
You guys are super distracted.
I guess we are in name.
58 minutes in.
The what did you call them the other day? Calcium cannons?
Something like that. So, Jason, you've been playing video games?
I have been. This last week, I've been playing the new RoboCop, Rogue City Unfinished Business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a thing.
That is a thing. Because I killed Spider-Man 2 like six ways from Sunday.
So. Yeah, because it was like a 20-hour game.
Yeah. So, I've been playing through that, and really, there's, you know, there's nothing really new to talk about versus versus RoboCop. I will say I'm enjoying it just as much. Probably even a little bit more, just because like the levels within the, because the setting is Omnicorp Tower or Omni Tower. Not Omnicorp Tower, because it's not the business tower. In areas of the tower where you have like open exploration like you used to with old Detroit in the first game, for missions and stuff, you know, those levels are a lot tighter. Those maps are a lot tighter, so it doesn't feel like it bogs down the gameplay as much as Old Detroit could at times. So, so it does make the game feel a little bit more fast-paced. And the new cryo cannon that they introduced in the game is really cool. You know, the new enemies they introduced, the ninja robots from RoboCop 3, are kind of, yeah, whatever. They're like berserkers, right? They run up on you fast, you shoot them in the head, done. So, you know, they're not like a big challenge in the game, which was kind of disappointing. I was hoping they'd introduce a little bit more challenge, but I am having a lot of fun with it. And it's just more RoboCop Rogue City, which I'm totally okay with. I'm really happy they didn't try to overly change the formula.
Could change the formula all you want, but that's not gonna. Okay, I'm gonna be a naysayer for the, you know, for this particular game because reasons, but.
Well,
everybody that I've talked to that's played this, other than you, Jason, is, we all know you're special. The people that had purchased this game and played it warned me against it. They said, "Drusty, don't buy this game."
Which one, Rogue City or the new one?
Just RoboCop, the RoboCop game in general, the base game. Because I saw it was on the Steam sale, and you know, the two or three people I talked to is, "Don't buy this game, Rusty. It's not worth the money." And I'm like, "It's a couple bucks. How could it not be worth your money?" And they're like, "Trust me, it's not worth your money." And I said, "I'm morbidly curious now, because obviously you don't listen to the podcast, but and I gave them the information to find our podcast, and I said, "Look, my buddy Jason loves this game. So tell me why you hate this game." And they're just like, "Okay, so you've played games that are basically just, you know, like corridor shooters, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah. It's that, only bad." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. That's basically matches what I imagined what the game would be like, but with the, you know, with the one-liners that made RoboCop RoboCop, right?" And they're like, "Yeah, and the one-liners are really cringy." Of course, this is not a millennial. This is a much younger dude. But I find it funny. I will eventually play it. But
so this is what I'll say. With anybody younger than me, and I say that because, you know, I'm the part of the last of
the Mohicans.
What we would call the true heathen hybrids of Xennial. Just meaning I'm the young.
Jason turns 40 in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. So we, you know, Gen X and us younger millennials all grew up with the RoboCop franchise, right? We have a specific appreciation for it. But the younger millennials, and definitely the Generation Z or the Xennials, they don't have that appreciation. So, I feel like they're going to appreciate this game less than we would.
I agree. They don't have the proper context, and they wouldn't. They did not understand the references that was in, you know, in that game. So it's like they would watch the original RoboCop and be like, why am I watching this?
Because yeah. somebody yeah. gets shot in the dick. That's why.
I mean,
yeah. because yeah. they because pour toxic waste over a dude and he melts like a fucking candle. Oh, it, sorry.
It's not meant to make sense, right?
It's just gratuitous violence and goofy over the top.
With a plot.
Yeah, but it's good. It's just good.
He's like, but with a plot.
I mean, there is a decent plot in the original right. movie.
I mean, it's one of those, but it's just gratuitous violence, like, you know, and a really, really wooden. Why? Like, the guy's an android, right? So, like, Peter Weller's performance is pretty wooden. And, like, true to life. Is that even the thing if he's an android? But, you know, it's a very wooden performance. It's classic if you grew up with it, right? Like, I don't know. I haven't watched it in a while, so I don't know how well RoboCop the original holds up today. But I think it would hold up if you grew up with it, if that makes any sense, right? Like, there's definitely some nostalgia there, but also there wasn't movies yeah. with gratuitous, goofy-ass violence like that. Not as many back then, right? Unless you were watching something
unless you were straight watching to VHS. The corny sword and board movies from the 80s, right? Like
that's the like whole reason, Conan like
and Deathstalker and Red Sonja and those sorts of movies.
I watched all of those.
Yeah.
So, am I part of the problem? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
So, anyways, you played Rogue City. You think it's all right?
I played Rogue City. I love. We've heard me gush about that game already. I loved it. By extension. I like this game almost as well.
I probably wait. I got to finish the first one.
I may not be as in love with the expansion as the original, mostly because I already played Rogue City, right? So like a lot of the things I love about that one are still in this one. So I can't say that's something for me to overly gush about and say. That makes this game just as great. You know, the tighter level maps, etc., do work in this game's favor to speed up the gameplay, but it also kind of takes away part of what I liked about the original, the whole, you know, investigating out the maps, you know, finding the adjacent cases, yada yada, etc., etc. That's not in here because the maps are tighter. So there is still some of those elements, but they're fewer, and they're generally, you know, you're solving them easier, etc. I don't find the while they're real well written for telling the story. There are several sequences where you go back in memory and play through Alex Murphy's memories with his old partner that just. I almost feel like they're overdone. Like they made those levels too large. I feel like you could be stuck in that, a little bit too long. I will say they did one good thing with this game, that I thought they kind of fucked up with the other game. And that was, If you're not going to have Lewis actually riding along with RoboCop as his partner throughout it, then why try including her at all? They didn't have her written as kind of like a mama bear character as they did in the first one. But, I mean, she has like 5 lines of dialogue at the start of the game, and then boom. She's out of the picture. So if you're not going to utilize her the entire time, then just not having her in the bulk of the gameplay is I think for the best, and that was a wise decision. I will give them that.
Well, I might be caught up enough that I might pick it up on the autumn sale. I've got quite the backlog right now I need to work through. Yeah. Did you, I guess we'll get your full review once you're done.
Yeah.
Cause I don't imagine you're done. Cause they just came out. I'm
probably about halfway through it.
You've been gaming a lot. You finished Spider-Man and that.
He's been gaming more than I have. That's yeah. Sure.
Did you know, this past week after after getting done with baseball, because this was the last week for baseball, so there were like three games this week, plus a practice. I'd kind of still be ramped up after getting home, so I would stay up way too late and play a couple hours of that at a time, you know, till I felt wound down enough to go to bed. So, which, you know, is really easy to do with that game, because you're not beholden to it. Even if you're in the middle of a mission, you can just save right where you are and stop. And when you pick it back up, you'll be right there. So, I do still really like that part of it.
I will get to that eventually. I have a hard time with games with lots and lots and lots of dialogue. Here's my game time. My game time's from about, I don't know, if I have no chores, basically from about 6 o'clock till about 9 o'clock when I'm, and then one of those hours I'm talking to my girlfriend. So it's like play a game with a lot of dialogue up to that point, then switch to the game that's a grind fest, or just something that's straight gameplay, which is something I have been doing, but I'm going to break the rule here and talk about it a little bit. I've been trying to get through Stellar Blade. I say trying to get through. It actually hasn't been a hard get through. I heard somebody else on another podcast say it was a love letter to Nier, and I really see it now. But I think the level design and maybe not just level design, like the level variety is better than it is with Nier. There's a lot of wide open plain spaces in Nier. And I get that I don't like that game as much as you guys do, especially you, Rusty. I know it requires multiple playthroughs, and it's pretty good. Like, I gave it a good solid 4 out of 5. I know there are a lot of people who are like, it's a game of a generation. I think maybe that's because of the replay stuff, but lots of really cool ideas, don't get me wrong. But it plays similar to Nier. But way more action combat, and the visuals and everything else look a lot like Nier. I sent you guys, like, it's so much a love letter to Nier. Like, there's like Nier outfits in the game. There's a whole lot of outfit unlocking, which I'm mostly achievement hunting with that. No, I don't play in the slutty outfit all the time. I usually just play in something kind of plain, to be honest with you, because I don't care that much. But the actual moment-to-moment gameplay is pretty good. I'm up to a point. I watched a video to figure out if there was a point of no return, and I figured out where it's at, and it's literally where I'm at. So I'm in the middle of wrapping up a couple of, like, side quests. But I've gotten to I've done the thing where I've done, like, all the side quests. And it's a good game. Like, honestly, Stellar Blade has been highly overlooked by oversensitive game journos, just being honest. Like, it's about as slutty as Nier. Let's just say that. The sluttiest this game gets is their outfits that are basically bikinis. And she doesn't have the triple G's like they do in Dead or Alive, so it's not that. And it was modeled after an actual person. Jason was asking about it, and I was streaming earlier while waiting on you, Rusty, to wake up. And I showed him the I was like, yeah, it's modeled off of Shin something or other. Anyways, the girl they modeled off of is a South Korean actress that has way more badonkadonk and calcium cannons than I've ever seen on a Korean girl. But, yeah, like, basically looks almost exactly the same, except the face is a little different. So, like, the body they modeled her, Eve in Nier off of is a person that lives in South Korea.
Okay.
But anyways, And she's an android. That's the other thing. Like, she's modeled to be the perfect human and all of the, like... So, like, the gist of it is you and other squad mates are part of, like, an elite team, and they're all modeled to be these perfect androids. They're all chicks, right? I just said chicks, whatever. It's 2025. I'm a millennial. They're all gals, right? And they're all, like, perfectly proportioned. In fact, some of the outfits that I thought were cooler are the ones that look like made her look more robotic. And there's some of those that do that make her look like she's got like bolts in her and stuff, which is pretty neat. But yeah, the moment-to-moment gameplay is pretty fucking good. I've really gotten used to all the parries and dodges and special counters and all of that stuff. And it's all second nature button pressing for me at this point. It's not incredibly, it's pretty hard at first when you're trying to get used to the timings of everything, and the dodge window is pretty small to get the dodge that you want, but you get a lot more energy if you use the parry. So basically the way the system works is you got like an X and a Y attack, right? You know, the amount of times you press either of those turns into different combos. Your Y is your heavy, your X is your light. You have a special move where you hold down left bumper and hit any of your face buttons, so the X, Y, A, B. Those come from energy, and the energy comes from how you spec your character and from parries, primarily parries, but you get a little bit from every hit that you do. And that energy you can use for perfect counters. You can use it for some of those special attacks. And then later on in the game, you get another thing called burst attacks, and those are built different ways based on how you build your character. And those burst attacks is like you hold down right button and hit one of the face buttons and you do something super cool. All those abilities based on your XP, you build out until you've got like, you know, most of your stuff specced out. And then you have like a overpower mode, kind of like, I don't know, you click both sticks and you go into like beast mode essentially. And that comes a little bit later in the game. And then there's special attacks and parries and stuff that come with that as well. To me, it's like a super clutch move because you don't spend health in that mode. So it's something that I use occasionally on boss fights. But in general, like, again, it plays really well. It is a really tight Devil May Cry Bayonetta style game with some RPG mechanics. And the monster design is fantastic. The world design's fantastic. I like the way the levels are kind of interconnected. Playing a stupid fishing game right now because I can use fish points to buy extra stuff to give me like an extra healing thing, which is what I'm trying to go for right now. Like all the systems together just work really well. And it's a really good looking game that runs super freaking smooth. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I did start Wuchang Fallen Feathers. There's a lot of negative reviews on that for PC. If you do not have a fairly high spec PC, my thoughts are is UE5 runs like dog shit on your PC. I have an overbuilt PC, so I don't notice any issues. I just put everything on max and play. But looking through reviews, I can tell that there's a lot of people that are not saying that. Looking at the way it got reviewed, though, on consoles, it reviewed pretty well, like mid-80s. And on PC Steam reviews right now, I'm pretty sure it's probably still mostly negative due to compatibility issues. It is, my idiot ass bought it on Green Man because I've been looking forward to that game. So long story short, if you want to try it out, it's on PC Game Pass. Just download it. It's a Souls-like game. It? Yeah, it's on Game Pass. I bought, it's literally like the first game on there right now. It came out Thursday. Wait, what? Yeah. So Wuchang Fallen Feathers is on there right now. Nice. So if you want to give it a shot, see if your PC can run it, that's a great way to do it. Instead of being my dumbass, I went the Green Man route, right? And since I buy a fair amount of stuff on there, I'm like the, you know, top tier member. So I get like 18 or 20% off everything. So I want to say I bought it for 40 something. I don't know. It's another, to quote somebody I follow, Fighting Cowboy. Calls it Gunner Souls. He reviewed it pretty well. I guess I'm just like playing Gunner games right now, unintentionally. Like it's another game with, you know, female protagonists in skimpy clothes doing Dark Souls type stuff, kind of. Going back to Stellar Blade, though, there's no real penalty for dying other than whatever consumables you used are gone. So there's no soul run. And Wuchang Fallen Feathers, I've played a little bit of it. It's pretty hard right now. I'm still trying to figure out the balance. I think I've like completely fucked my spec up. But apparently you can respec for free anyway. So I may go back and fix it once I'm done with Stellar Blade. But right now I'm really locked into Stellar Blade because it's a really good game. I'm going to finish that, and then I'm going to play Wuchang Fallen Feathers. And hopefully by the time I start playing it, the reviews come up after they fix whatever issues they're having with UE5 on PC. But a lot of people that I respect that have played it, you know, like I said, Fighting Cowboy likes it a lot. That's a guy that I have followed Souls Guides for 10 years. But it is a weird game.
I don't know. That looks like there's a couple different types of weapons and things. Is it? I don't know. You said you hadn't played a whole lot of it.
Like 2 hours.
Is it like more like Neo, or is it more like Souls?
It's a whole lot. Let's say Dark Souls 3 or Bloodborne. It's a really fast. It's methodical, but also kind of fast paced. So it wants you to play kind of defensively. It wants you to either parry or dodge things. And until you get your, like, it has some weird mechanics, right? So you got your, we're just going to call it your souls, right? Because that's the easiest way for anybody to relate to what's going on. Every time you kill something, right, you get souls. If you die so many times, you get more powerful, but the enemies get harder. And then if you die, like, the final time where you go full feather mode or whatever, forget what it's called, but you're basically turning into an undead of some sort. You have to fight an elite enemy to get your souls back. But prior to that, when you die, you only lose a small portion of your souls. So you could die and then come back and be like, you know what? I should spend what I got. And you do. It makes you convert that souls into level up energy, so to speak. And then you go in and each weapon type kind of has its own tree. And then there's a general tree. And so you can spec into a weapon tree to give yourself better advantages for that weapon and better move sets. But every weapon has a different defensive move. So, like, some weapons have a block or a parry. Like, the axe straight up has a block, and I'm actually thinking about using the axe. The sword has a parry. Sometimes the dual daggers have a parry, depending on which one you have, from what I can gather. And the law, I want to say one of the swords straight up wants you to dodge all the time and gain your energy by striking out combos. But you need the energy to do better versions of some of your attacks or to use magic. But the checkpoints are pretty far away from each other. At least I'm just not used to it yet. And so I straight up just ran through a bunch of enemies and got to the checkpoint so that I could figure it out. And it was a long run. I only got like, you know, 4 healing vials or whatever you want to call it. So, like, I really suck at dodging right now because it's different than the game I'm playing right now. So I just need to get used to the parry window, you know, or whatever the dodge mechanic is, because the dodge is your primary thing, to get better at it so that I can kind of get the flow of the combat. But it looks like to me when I was watching people play that it wants you to be kind of methodical and build up some energy and then do some big attacks and then kind of be reserved for a second until you kind of figure out where your opening is and then go ham for a second and then go back to being kind of methodical.
Okay. Yeah.
But it wants you to play a little bit more careful. Wants you to use consumables. It wants you to spend your souls while you got them and not hold on to them forever. It wants you to explore, and I appreciate that. That's another thing about Stellar Blade. Like, fucking explore everything, bro. There are so many different things around the corner, different, you know, different discoveries, different quests, different missions around. They use every bit of real estate they have for every level. Levels are fairly vertical. Sometimes you're, you know, changing the level up. Like, there's a level where you drain, like, the whole bottom half of the level is only after you drain it out. And so... Yeah. And the water's electric when you get in there. And this is like one of the first levels. The water's electric when you get in there, but you can go back and drain the water down. And then there's a whole nother level underneath it. But I've heard Wuchang has the same interconnectivity as Souls 1, which is actually really appealing. I really like how interconnected Souls 1 was. So I'm going to give it a fair shake. when I get done with this. Again, my dumbass got it, you know, around $50-ish or whatever it was on Green Man. Green Man should just sponsor us at this point. I buy a lot of shit from through you guys. But long story short, Game Pass is probably the way to go on if you're on PC right now because of the UE5 issues, and you can see if it'll run on your system. It's not consistent like system to system, right? Like I'm seeing a lot of people with 30 series cards having issues with it. And it's like a 50 gig download, so people are understandably pissed. But if you've got it on console, a lot of people are not bitching at all. There's a lot of people that like the actual gameplay. It's literally just the system issues on PC that are causing the review bomb they got going right now.
So there's I'm looking at the how long to beat on it. And I don't know. The how long to beat on it is saying 11 hours.
No fucking way.
That's what it's saying.
Yeah, how long to beat can be weird sometimes.
It's also, there's not a big sample size, so there's probably somebody, you know, people that just like rush through it. You know, leaderboard style, right?
I think Cowboy Was Sin is about 40 hours.
Yeah, they're probably somebody just ran through all the enemies and just like is used to like no hitting bosses or you know, no damage runs on freaking Dark Souls. So they're like, okay, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, if you have somebody who's like, except, you know, like the Let Me Solo Her guy going through this, mm-hmm. I bet he just one shots everything, goes straight through. Right? Like, but.
It's not for, and not me. Like, I'd probably spend 40 hours on this. Fuck, I spent over 100 hours in my first playthrough on, you know, on Elden Ring. But, to be fair, Elden Ring was the first Souls game that I finished. So. Right.
Yeah, I'm looking at some AI stuff, 25 to 35 hours. If you're focusing on main objectives.
Yeah, people are trying to overpower the issues with Unreal 5 right now. Like the people who are able to finish the game, I'm seeing, are playing on very overbuilt machines. But yeah, it's like most people are like, I don't know, why would you play this game over Elden Ring? Well, there's some people who have already played through that game, you know?
Yeah, it's the enemy design and stuff looks really interesting. That's why I want to play it. But again, when you're like locked into a game, like you might as well stay locked into the game. Like it's just like Death Stranding. I'm just at a point where there's a lot of narrative stuff, but I'm probably 3/4 of the way through Death Stranding too. It's also an excellent game.
I am at I'm at a point now where I'm looking at a bunch of different options as far as games are concerned, because so The Division 2 is what I've been playing, right, for the past couple weeks. And I mean, to be fair, as you know, multiple years worth of, you know, shit that's happened, you know, since I last played this game. And I haven't really been, I didn't have a whole lot of time to sit there and just fucking play a game. Like, you know, it hurts to sit down for long periods of time. So I just do my thing. But the thing with, the Division is I ended up having to watch a 4-hour video about the lore of Division, because just running through the missions doesn't give you everything. Like, all the, not all the cutscenes are still in the game. Or the triggers aren't there because they were past seasons. Right. I had to watch a lore video to get caught up. Like, why is this person back? Because of reasons and stuff. Like, why is this person now a good guy when, just a few missions ago, they had me go and fight this, you know, fight this person. Why am I cooperating with this person? So I had to stop what I was doing and watch a 4-hour video to figure, you know, to catch myself up on what's going on in the game. That got me up to the latest expansion, which is the Battle for Brooklyn. I'm going through, the story through that. And what they have is they have seasons going on where there's like a weekly progression towards a manhunt.
Actually super surprised they're still supporting that game.
It's really honestly kind of surprising to me as well, because for the most part, I thought that they weren't doing anything, anything big with it. Apparently in an earnings call with Ubisoft, they noticed that the Battle for Brooklyn, expansion that was put out just recently, not too long ago, they noticed a fairly large surge in players returning to the game and new players actually playing the game for a IP and a game that's been out for 7 years, right?
Yeah,
so it was notable to to that call. It's an ongoing project. There is a team that's still doing a overarching story. There was a hiccup of about a year or two that they just kind of replayed previous seasons, and a lot of players left at that point because they felt that was like the death knell. There was no telling any new story, right? It's just replaying the old story. But recently, they've been adding a weekly progression to the story and adding a little bit more extra, intel drops and details for things. And it's just like little voice lines, maybe a minute long voice line thing, but it adds a little bit more context to the intrigue of what's going on with the story. And people are, are following along, with that, which I think doing it that way keeps the player base that's really interested in the game very, engaged in it, because there's lore speculations, a bunch of other shit, that's going on with it. I'm not big into the lore of the game. I just wanted a shooter. And I really just wanted to understand why I was fighting a dude. And then a couple missions later, which would have been like two seasons later, I am now fighting with that dude. So I'm like, okay, after all that's, that said and done, I've still got the majority of Battle for Brooklyn to go through, which is, it's an expansion or DLC or something, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be maybe 5 hours of the content. And, as with these games, it's grinding to get, better gear and better loot and yada, 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 right? This is a looter shooter, right? I see the writing on the wall as far as like the brick wall that I'm, fast approaching as far as gaming is concerned on this. Is like, I'm going to get what I want to get. I'm not going to get literally everything like some of the content creators for this game is doing. And I'm going to move on. So I've got Stellar Blade on the backlog. You're giving it good reviews. I'm going to give that a try. Xbox Game Pass. I mean, I've got The Altars, which you've given good review. Metaphor of Fantasio is on there. Going to give that a try.
Metaphor is on freaking Game Pass too.
Yep. Abiotic Factors on Game Pass. Now Wu Chang Fallen Feathers is on Game Pass. So there's a lot of Game Pass games that's that I've got preloaded for fucking around on. And that's gonna I think between all of those, that's going to get me into September for Borderlands, when Borderlands drops. And honestly, I don't know of very many other games that's going to, like, you know, capture my attention for any length of time.
I've got Mycopunk 2 I picked up, so.
Oh, Mycopunk is, what was it? I downloaded Mycopunk, but I couldn't actually play it.
Maybe the demo ended.
It's possible. Something about Mycopunk didn't work, and I ended up, you know, uninstalling it. I gave it a go, but, I have to look into that again. But it was, it's just one of those things. Like, I've got a bunch of other, you know, a bunch of these games that I'm, you know, setting aside, to do some, you know, do some actual gaming on, here very soon. But it's also like, I just need to have time to sit on my ass and play video games. And in the summertime, it's, you know, especially now, it's a little harder for me to break away and actually just like sit in the AC down here and relax and play video games. Everybody wants me to do something. So it's just a thing, man. But I mean, that's kind of the thing here is I've been having fun with, you know, Division 2, but I know I'm running out of, you know, it's running out of steam. Like, I don't have a whole lot of upgrades that I'm getting because everything is really, really incremental at this point. So it's like, okay, what do I do? Why am I playing this game? And as soon as you start asking that question about a live service game, you end up falling off of it. So I'm right there. So it's a thing. There's, and I'm not seeing much. I'm looking for games that are coming out soon. And I think we'll just, we'll probably come back after break and be able to talk about what games are coming out, you know.
Yeah, because we need to figure that out.
Couple months.
We need to figure that out. Why don't we take a break?
Yep.
All right.
We'll be back. And we're back.
Woo.
Woo. We, it's clear we needed a podcast because we're all pretty talkative today. Yeah. So, things and stuff. We'll go over game releases last. But I was talking about Wuchang, right? Wuchang right now is at a 38% positive out of 24,000 reviews on Steam.
That's
due to performance.
It's just performance. Of course, review bombing.
Yeah. So, most notably what it is players on a 60 hertz display will face sub-60 FPS in performance, while players on 120 hertz display see 100-plus FPS held back by severe screen tearing. Again, I'm not the target market. The guy that's in this article is talking about his 2070, which I understand, right? Like, you got an older hardware that might cause some issues. But also having some issues on his 3080. So, the developers addressed this, and they said they're working on performance patches right away, which is the right thing to do. Like, they get this game performing, like, again, there's a lot of people I respect that are giving it fair reviews. I'd like to see it do well.
So I'm just looking through like the hardware survey, right? Because Steam hardware survey is basically the best way for us to get a cross section of what people are running for hardware. The 2070, is it the 2070 Super or just 2070? or does he say?
He says a 20. Scroll back. You would ask me. It just says 2070. It doesn't really say what it is.
Okay. It is in the lower. It is less than 0.62% of people are running a 2070. The most popular is the 4060 laptop GPU, followed by a 3060. So, I mean, yeah, he's running an unpopular, gaming video card, and I wouldn't be running on that ship. I gave a 2080 to my buddy here, so, yeah, he's probably going to be running into some issues playing a modern, a brand new fucking modern game, especially running, UE5, right? But I've had problems with UE5 as well. Just like any game that comes out utilizing UE5, of course they're trying to turn fucking eye candy up to 11. So, yeah, if you don't have something that's, basically over-specced to play the game, you're going to run into problems. And it's an issue that that we've talked about plenty of times. It's like, you don't have to make a game that's nothing but eye candy. Make a game that's playable and it's fun. Then you can turn the eye candy up as you need to. But, I'm not buying a benchmark tool, nor am I buying a tech demo. I want to buy a game. Your game should not be a benchmark or a tech demo first. It should be a game first. So.
I agree. That's why I said the fact that it's on Game Pass allows you to check it out to see if it's even a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other quick news I came across. We've been talking about Pal World for quite a while, right? In fact, we were talking about it last year. Well, Nintendo's been trying to sue the shit out of them and hasn't made a lot of progress so far. They actually rewrote a patent mid-case in the ongoing lawsuit.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, of course they did.
Yeah, so Pocket Pair did a lot make changes. So in November, they removed the ability to summon pals by throwing pal spheres. Now they just materialize. They did another update. Instead of gliding on the pals, you have a glider so that you're not gliding on things. And so they did that to help deny infringement, essentially, right? They wanted to make sure that they weren't in a situation where they could potentially be sued and they could continue making the game. But yeah, Nintendo, I'm trying to remember, let's see. Yeah, so they were saying Nintendo's major argument to get the patent granted in the first place was that a boardable character was specifically a character and not a tool like a parachute. So claiming that the lawsuit that a glider, which is a tool, is a boardable character would create a contradiction. So now they've reworded some of that patent, trying to make sure that they are infringing, essentially. But because of this, Nintendo's essentially not making a lot of ground in their lawsuit. And this is like reason 9,555 that I've disavowed Nintendo as a company. Well, it's this kind of bullshit.
So they're saying that you can't board a, to make it as plain as possible, you can't use a PAL as a glider. And then they're saying that you can't use a glider as a glider because a glider is a tool, a character.
Yeah.
So by that means,
so what? Every what's about game Ark?
That has a glider in it is a boardable character, therefore would be infringing on this patent from Nintendo. So Nintendo is now entering the arena against Fortnite.
Right. It's getting ridiculous. So, like, they're trying to rework their patent around it so they can still sue them, and it's just like, all right, guys, fuck off.
Right. I mean, from the very get-go, the Battle Royale portion of, like, Fortnite, you come in on a glider. Just a basic-ass fucking glider, right?
Right.
But if they're going to continue to go on about this shit, they're going to write themselves into a corner And a, you know, any judge worth their salt is going to be like, yeah, no, you're just on a witch hunt at this point. You know, and you're just throwing your weight around as a big company with large, large lawyer pockets to try to, you know, to try to make a smaller company fold just on the weight of lawyer, lawyer costs alone. What it would, what I would want to do if I had in a world where I was the judge in this situation, if I was, I would not only, you know, throw this fucking case out based off of, you know, based off of a bunch of different factors, including them trying to rewrite their patent, right? But I would also make Nintendo pay for all of the lawyers' fees for this company that, you know, to defend themselves. To, you know, to basically disincentivize Nintendo from doing this to smaller developers, you know, over frivolous bullshit. This could have easily been taken care of out of court without any type of, you know, type of repercussions for either company. Just be like, yeah, we know you're making a tongue-in-cheek game about, you know, about Pokemon. These are the rules. This is the line in the sand. Please don't cross this, right? Do what we can to, you know, to not cross it. You can play off of the idea of it, but don't, you know, don't cross this line. Otherwise, you know, we'll take it to court. And I'm not sure. I don't know, never was in part of those boardrooms, not a fly on the wall on any of this shit, right? But I'm just imagining that if this conversation happened between the two companies, you know, that there would be an understanding. Yes, we have, you know, on one hand, we want to do a parody of Breath of the Wild and Pal World or Pokemon. Name it Pal World. Throw some guns at it and basically do tongue in cheek, you know, satire, but also make it a halfway decent game. You know, on the other hand, we don't want to, you know, cease to exist because of patent rules, right? So it's a really weird situation, and I think that the only reason I'm even following this anymore, because I mean, I played my time with Power World, and I was okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for there to be more before I played it again. Like, it was just, there wasn't enough content, so it's like, all right, cool, I'm good.
Yeah, and now it's just I'm watching the story or hearing about the story, and it's not good marks on Nintendo. Like, everything that Nintendo has done has not been good for their PR.
No, not at all.
It really has not. Like, they will do a dumb amount of shit, you know, legally against content creators, against video game developers, against, you know, a bunch of other shit, right? They will take them, you know, to court and fucking, like, drag them through the mud and be the bad guy. And that has, you know, and anybody from our generation's looking at this and be like, okay, yeah, they're the fucking bad guy. The people who are not affected by this, kids. And the target market for the Switch, kids. So that's kind of the thing, is I'm looking at Nintendo not only as a scummy ass company for fucking around with, you know, content creators and, you know, and developers in the courtroom, but I'm also looking at it as a scummy ass company that's basically utilizing the unintentional ignorance of their player base to get away with it. Because, I mean, a kid's not going to care about fucking court cases and, you know, the legalities of a patent. They're going to be like, yeah, when is the next Pokemon game coming out, you know? So, I'm with you, Justin. I have basically not purchased anything Nintendo related, and I don't have a want or need to do so. Really, the only thing that, you know, that was Nintendo related that I was even halfway interested in, you know, was fucking Metroid. And I haven't played a Metroid game fucking forever. I know there's been a few of them that's come out since the last time I played a Metroid game, and I really have not felt the need to go out and buy that shit because I don't want to give Nintendo any more money. So, it's just crazy. It's, I can't understand it.
So, something else. I've got a couple of quick things I want to keep rolling. There's a bunch of layoffs from Microsoft, even though Oblivion Remastered reached 9 million players. I know a lot of those are Game Pass, but Oblivion Remastered is genuinely pretty good.
Yeah.
And there is some controversy. So we talked last week about, so I didn't dig enough into it, but essentially Visa was the one that told Steam that they couldn't have any adult games on their platform, would stop payment processing if they continue to list them. So Steam delisted a bunch of games. But that opened the door for... So Congress, I'm not going to get real political on this because I don't give a fuck who the one who's introducing the bill. There's controversy on who's introducing the bill, and I don't want to get into that. Do with that what you will. But regardless, there's a bill called Fair Access to Banking Act that just got introduced that has to do with Visa being able to use its power as a payment processor to put pressure on other companies based on their beliefs, essentially, right? So they didn't like porn, right? But also they could maybe not like gore, right? They could maybe not like several other things that maybe Visa doesn't want to claim they represent. But the thing is none of your payments represent Visa. Visa is just an electronic payment processing company. It's just money. But for whatever reason, they're deciding that they want to put pressure. And the goal of this bill, and it's very imperfect, but the goal of this, or at least a discussion that this generates, is payment processors shouldn't have the right to put pressure on companies for what they sell, saying that they won't let that person or that company sell certain things through their service based on their point, their stances on certain things. And it's not just about the porn. Like, I think the porn games were stupid. I think a lot of people do. But there was some discussion, and this is very hyperbolic, but there was some discussion about removing Detroit Becoming Human because of a couple of scenes, right? And then it could apply to stuff like Stellar Blade or, Wuchang Fallen Feathers being like having a somewhat, I say somewhat, having a pretty sexualized character, even though we're talking a bikini. Come on now, guys. Stuff you can see in a PG-13 movie. There is no butt fucking going on in Stellar Blade. Let's just throw that out there. There's nothing like that. You're playing a sometimes scantily clad character battling weird creatures. Same thing with Wuchang. So that being said, like helps at least get the discussion going to maybe where the United States and the EU and other countries can put some pressure on Visa to not follow through on these practices. Again, I think the fact that adult games aren't hidden by default in Steam is a clear call out to Steam. But what's considered, to me, adult is anything with fucking in it, right? But, you know, as like a central theme. But you can say, like, you know, Mass Effect had his saucy scenes and so did Baldur's Gate, right? That's not really the reason I played those games. There's some people are really into the whole relationship aspect. For me, it was like, what extra abilities can you get from being somebody's friend? Let me get back to the gameplay. If I want porn, I know how to get it. Somebody's digitized nipple is not going to get me off. But anyways, back on track, I think it could, you know, potentially puts us in a weird space if Visa continues that practice, and I'd like to see more pressure put on Visa. So if you're curious, look up Fair Access to Banking Act. You can get all the information you want. But there's been a lot of discussion on it. Reddit's like on fire with this right now. again, depending on who you follow politically, like that's going to be put you in a weird space maybe. But I really don't care about that. I'm really caring about what discussion it generates. And so regardless of the human that introduced this, the fact that that exists is a good thing. Let's see how see where this goes. I'd like to see that pressure exerted on Visa.
So as a tangent to this, because I know that this, you know, I didn't know about the act that was going through. And honestly, having a payment processor, have this kind of control over what a business can and cannot do is kind of crazy, especially when the payment processor is so ingrained in how business is done these days.
You might use my Visa all the time for the points.
Right. So the idea of a company basically throwing around their weight just because they don't like a thing is off-putting. And I can see why there's laws, acts going into place to basically limit the amount of control that that these companies can, exert using their ability to basically pull out. What I've noticed over the last week is, as we talk about shit, it shows up on my newsfeed, right? I noticed there was some ways that other countries, because culture is different no matter where you're at, right? So if you go to another country, what we think of as abnormal is totally normal there, right? I'm gonna call out the country that you probably figured this shit out, but Japan, right? You go over to Japan, and anime is a big thing over there. Hentai is a thing as well, right? It's just an offshoot of anime as far as they're concerned. But it's more adult thing. Video games are not the only thing that's being, video games and porn is the two major things that we hear about in the United States that Visa is kind of like, exerting their pressure against. Japan being Japan, they find ways around shit. They just do. There's always, you can't gamble in Japan in the same sense that you can gamble in, say, Las Vegas, but you can go to pachinko parlors, which is a form of gambling that's not gambling. It's considered a game. So you go to pachinko parlors, it's completely different, right? The way that Japan is handling it is if you go to these sites or use these services that is selling something that, say, Visa does not want to take a payment from, instead they use a payment processor or like a middleman payment processor. So when you go to check out, it'll generate a QR code and they'll send you this QR code in the mail or in your email for the cost of whatever the product is, right? And then you use the QR code to pay using your Visa card, and that goes to the middleman, and then the middleman pays the storefront or whatever you're getting the thing from. And by adding that insulating layer, Visa doesn't know that you're buying. They're just knowing that you're paying for a product based off of this, this QR code. All they see is a dollar amount, not what the product is. And that's how they're getting around the whole Visa thing. That adds a whole nother layer. I'm sure that there's fees involved, which raise the price of shit, right? But the idea that that has to exist in this, in this world because Visa's doing what it's doing, and Visa may not be the only one that wants to do this. I mean, MasterCard, you could do something similar. Fucking, what's to say that your bank says you can't buy things from X, Y, or Z? You can't go to Walmart because we don't support Walmart, right? How far does the rabbit hole go? But you know, there are ways around it. I just don't want to see what is happening in Japan happening, you know, everywhere because of, you know, because of the power that these payment processors have, you know, just to basically say, no, we don't support this. Like,
yeah, hard agree.
So it's just, that was just an interesting thing that came across the desk as they say, throughout the week. I'm like, oh, that's kind of an interesting take on things.
Jason, you said you had it.
All right. Well, speaking of interesting takes, I got a couple of news stories that we've all been kind of waiting for. First up, Metroid Prime 4 has officially been rated by South Korea's certification board. Meaning that it is most likely due to release sometime this year. And according to the rating information, etc., it is slated to release both for the original Switch and a enhanced version for Switch 2. But otherwise, there's not really much other detail, but I mean, an official rating is definitely means it is definitely going to happen. So that is good news. And then in other good news, Amazon announced this week that they are in the process of developing a Wolfenstein TV series with Jonathan Nolan's Kilter Films.
Okay. We'll see how that turns out.
See now his production company's done with Fallout definitely piques my interest.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with it.
Wolfenstein though? Like,
hey, the first two of the reboot had a pretty good story. I guess we'll just see. We'll just see.
And there is a lot of cool story you could do with that world.
It is, but honestly,
they got to get the violence right.
You do have to get the violence right, but honestly, I don't want any more fucking like. I just want something new. I don't want. I don't want another Nazis of the Bad Guys, you know, show. You know, I get it. They're bad, but like, it's not super original. Like Fallout, I understand. I can get that. I can get behind that because it's a completely different thing. But they would have to go really over the top for the Wolfenstein games to make it like enjoyable for me. They'd have to go basically almost Inglourious Bastards level fucking over the top, right? Which they could do. They could. They totally could do that. But yeah, that's my take. It's just, I would prefer like. Okay, here's a thought process. Short, quick answers. Justin, video game franchise that you would like to see in a show, made into a show, go.
Mass Effect, and they're doing it.
Mass Effect, they're doing it. Okay. Jason.
BioShock.
You wouldn't want to see a BioShock game?
Yeah. Maybe. We'll leave out the edgelord bullshit that Ken Levine does.
A BioShock game.
Yeah, okay. I think that world could really be interesting.
I'm pretty sure that's BioShock happening too.
Okay. See, the
Assassin's Creed 1 and 2, Ezio's story.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see an Assassin's Creed, an Assassin's Creed, just like
with all the Illuminati stuff before Ubisoft writing went to shit. They decided that was an annual release, essentially.
Assassin's Creed has a lot of a lot of nuances, especially with all of the shit that they can do with the Animus. I can totally understand that.
Before he hit Black Flag, it was pretty damn good. Black Flag had great gameplay and just kind of a shit story because they were just in the simulation. But
basically, when the Animus was not controlled by the Templars, right?
Right.
So basically, anything prior to Abstergo getting access to the Animus. I'm too deep, but totally understand. I'm on board with that. Let's go with it. Okay. what do we got for game releases coming out here in the next little bit that that we've got our eyes on at least?
I would say we all have. Well, maybe you guys don't, but if you're into Grounded, that's coming out probably on Game Pass here on the 29th. So like in 2 days. Nice. And I was going to say there's Spider a Shinobi. Simulator. Yeah, there's a Shinobi game coming out at the very end of the month as well, which will probably be on Game Pass, but if not, it'll be like $20. In August, the bigger things is going to be Metal Gear Solid, Snake Eater comes out, the remake comes out on the 28th. Lost Soul Aside, I'm keeping my eye on, which looks kind of Souls-like-ish. And then in September is when we get a bigger dump of things. Hell Is Us is something me and Rusty were looking at.
Yes.
That looks like a fairly methodical game. You've also got, if you're into Silent Hill, Silent Hill F comes out on the 25th. Endless Legend 2, which is kind of like a Heroes of Might and Magic type style game, comes out on the 22nd. Trying to think what else was huger, I'd say bigger.
Final Fantasy Tactics. This is that's coming out on the 30th. And that's going to have an enhanced version of Final Fantasy Tactics alongside the original version of Final Fantasy Tactics.
God damn it.
But all of the it's going to be voice acted, 100% voice acted. And it's arguably one of the one of the games that got me into enjoying tactic style games from like the PlayStation era. So
it's even cooler though. Mm-hmm. Look up Kingmakers. That's the game that looks like where you have a guy that's driving this truck that ends up in medieval Europe.
Yeah.
That comes out on October 8th. And Painkiller, a game that's old as shit, boomer shooter style, kind of like Doom, comes out on October 9th. So
Kingmakers. Oh my god, I totally forgot that this was a thing.
Yeah, that's got a date locked in according to Steam. If you're really curious, we're using SteamDB. SteamDB has a release calendar based on what's most wishlisted, which is really freaking neat. So for that date, it has listed whatever is most wishlisted. But the Final Fantasy Tactics thing, like, man, I've already played that game so much.
I have not played Final Fantasy Tactics in probably...
Me and Jason literally just spent, like, over the last 2 years. I played it twice in the last 2 years. It was the remake. So now they're doing a remake? Like, come on, guys.
So, no, they did a... So you played, War of the Lions, I think.
Oh, yeah, no, so I played
Ogre. The last two remakes are actually War of the Lions, which are completely
Ogre Battle. Ogre Battle. Yeah, Final Fantasy. Okay, never mind. I'm wrong. Yeah, okay, I'm down for this.
And the remake that's coming out now is the actual original without the added stuff from War of the Lions.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that War of the Lions still wasn't voice acted, and there was a bunch of other like UI changes that, they needed to do.
People didn't like.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see what they do with with this. But
if you're super curious, Dying Light: The Beast was supposed to be a DLC that's coming out as a standalone on September 19th. So September looks pretty full. If you're like me and you bought a bunch of stuff to kind of hold you over through the summer, then you've got a while before anything really big comes out. I say that even though knowing that, yeah, I've got the biggest thing right now. So Wuchang's probably the biggest thing coming out right now at the end of July, even though it's being review bombed.
Yeah, there's quite a few games coming through. Like with my backlog and the some of the games that are coming through over the next couple months, I'm gonna be good till wintertime.
Yeah, I am too.
Honestly, with when you look at the the DB charts, like for releases after September, it kind of like it dries up because the last 3 months of the year they haven't really like locked in dates. So I'm sure that there'll be more games that that'll show up on those lists. It'll be something that comes out in the fall that everybody must have, right? So. Because that's the way it always happens.
All right. Well, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/realtiltcast. And search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find friends of the show. You've got For the Love of Gaming. You've got Picking Up the Pixels or Pupcast with our friend John and Boston and TVGP.TV. They do fantastic things and also review lots and lots of video games. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right, guys.
Peace.